Go, and today we arrive at the end of our Go And series. Now, there's every possibility that at some stage between now and when we're called home, we will hear another Go And sermon. But we've travelled a lot on this road this year. We've thought about things like go and proclaim, go and forgive, go and trust, go and obey, go and fight the good fight, go and pray, go and live ready, go and call upon the Lord, and go and walk in the Spirit, to name a few of the sermon titles that have been used. But as we draw this series to a close this morning, I feel that God is giving us one final command that sums up everything that we've learned so far in 2025. And that command is, go and live the faith you profess. Go and live the faith you profess. Because the world has heard enough Christian talk. The world needs to see how Christians walk. Not merely professing the faith, but possessing the faith. Not merely agreeing intellectually with what the Bible says, but living sacrificially the way that Jesus expects us to. Today, what I want to do is bring the series home with two verses. Two verses that really stand as bookends to gospel truth. James 2, verse 24. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. And Romans 3, 28. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Two verses from two apostles, yet it's one gospel. One truth that calls us to actually have a faith that moves. A faith that is active. A faith that shows that we love God and we love people. That what we do is motivated by what he has commanded us to do. So the first point is, go and understand the root and the fruit of faith. In many ways, Romans 3:28, it's like a trumpet blast of reformation. We are made right with God through faith. Not by what we do, not by who we are, not by where we're born, not by how we dress. Praise God. We are made right with God through faith. And James 2:24, it's the echo of that transformation. We are shown to be right with God by what we do. Because we love God, because he has saved us, because he has set us free from the burden of our sin, we should want to serve him. We should want to do what he's called us to do. And in many ways, Paul is addressing people who try to earn salvation by being righteous. James addresses people who claim to have faith, but show no change. Both expose spiritual error, and yet both are magnifying the truth of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, if you will, is speaking of the roots, and James is speaking of the fruit. Paul speaks of justification before God, and James speaks of justification before people. There's no contradiction here, there's comparison. They are parallel things that need to exist in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The Apostle Paul and James, they agree perfectly. It's grace that saves us. It's faith that receives the salvation. And our works reveal the truth that we have already been saved. Author and preacher Tim Keller, I think, helps us here. He says, we are saved by faith alone and not by faith that remains alone. It's not just faith. I have faith that if I yank on this tablecloth, whatever's on the table, the cross, will probably go flying because I have not been trained in sleight of hand to be able to do the sort of things that a magician would be able to do with a tablecloth. I know what my limitations are, but I also know that the word is clear when it says that through God all things are possible. I'm still not going to attempt to yank off the cloth from the table because there are certain laws of physics which I'm sure I'm not going to be able to break. I can have faith in something, but that faith should move me to action. I have faith in a loving God. I have faith in a heavenly Father. I have faith in a risen Lord who has paid the price for my sin at Calvary. And I should, if I really have that faith, be telling others about who Jesus is, why I love him, why I know he loves me. As unlovable as I am. Keller is reminding us here that saving faith, it's a living seed. It's something that grows. It's something that produces. It's something that bears fruit. If nothing ever grows, was anything ever planted to begin with? This is why, for the final sermon in this series, I want us to consider what it is that we profess. And is it encouraging us to action? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we speaking truth? Are we speaking life in this dark and damaged world? Because everything we've learned this year, everything that we've heard, everything really points to us going and producing fruit. Obedience, trust, surrender, service, holiness. Those are all things that we've been encouraged to do this year. Have you? Are you any different today than you were at the start of the year? We've seen change in the church. We've seen change in the community. We've seen differences in people's lives. But that's them. What about you? What about you as an individual? Have you gone? Have you gone and? Second point. Go and embrace a living, visible, obedient faith. I know that's a long title, but that's what we're meant to do. We are meant to be active in our faith. James gives us two powerful illustrations. He talks first about Abraham, and he also talks about Rahab. Two people who, in many ways, are completely different. And yet, they both had faith. Abraham had a faith that acts, a faith that happened. James 2, 21 and 22. Our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. The Greek word that's used here is synergy. It means to cooperate, to work together. A living faith cooperates with obedience. A living faith causes us to respond to what God is saying to us. Oh, but Dean, that's for the super Christians. That's for those people who... No, it's for all of us. All of us are meant to respond by faith. Or Rahab. Rahab had a faith that risked. James 2:25. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Shown to be right by her, right with God by her actions. She was moved to actually risk her life. Maybe God's not calling you or I to risk our lives, but we have brothers and sisters around the world that even at this moment are risking their lives because of the faith they have in Jesus. Maybe they've spent Christmas worshipping in secret. In Korea, North Korea, it's illegal to celebrate Christmas. Yet I know there are Christians there who have celebrated Christmas. Knowing full well that the celebration of the birth of their Lord and Saviour could lead to their own death, could lead to them being thrown into prison. Many of us don't even have the determination to tell people in our own families about who Jesus is, let alone risk public execution for proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. Rahab took risks, and we as people of faith, there are times when we do have to take risks. There are times when we step out in faith. But how many times do we hesitate before taking that step? I pray that each of us will have a faith that really responds. I pray that each of us will be willing to take that step of faith. Someone might get angry with us for speaking truth. But I would rather speak truth than lie about who Jesus is and what he means to me. Consider Matthew 7, verses 17 to 20. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. The words of the Lord, not me. The words of the Lord that cause us to examine ourselves and ask, can I be identified as someone who loves the Lord by what I say, by what I do? Is there an obvious difference in my life and those of the world? Jesus teaches exactly what James also taught. Fruit never creates the tree, but fruit reveals the tree. John Piper said, faith is the root of salvation and love is the fruit of salvation. Because we're saved, because we're set free, because Christ has shown his love towards us in dying for us while we were still sinners, we should also love others and share the truth of the gospel. This is the heartbeat of James. Fruit is not optional. Fruit is meant to be inevitable. If we truly love the Lord, if we truly want to serve him, if we really care that people are going to hell because they don't know who Jesus is, then out of love, we'll speak truth, we'll speak life, we'll witness, We'll invite people to church. Oh, I can't do that. Dean's going to be there. God is calling each of us to respond. It's not optional. It's what we are meant to do. If the Saviour lives in you, then others in this world should see the Saviour through you. You might be the only possibility they have to discover the true Jesus for themselves. And so as we conclude this series, God asks us, does your life reveal Christ? Does it? I mean, if I saw you outside a church, if I saw you in your natural habitat, your home or your place of work, would I recognise you as the same person that's sitting in this church today? Would God recognise you as his child? Would you recognise God as your father? Or would you deny that you even knew him? Just to blend in. Does your daily walk match your Sunday profession? We sing from our lips, Jesus is Lord. We praise him, we worship him, we magnify his holy name. Do you ever accidentally use his name as a swear word? Do you get offended when someone else uses his name in the wrong way? How about this one? To those who know you, the people at home, the people in the office, the people wherever you spend your time, is your faith visible to them? Or do you pull a blanket over your head? Do you cover yourself in camouflage and they have no idea that you love the Lord? It's all about what motivates us. The love of God should motivate us. The grace of God should motivate us. The fact that we've been forgiven should motivate us. The fact there are people walking by outside that are heading to a lost eternity should motivate us, all of us. It's not just a job for the evangelist, for the preacher. It's not just, oh, let's stick Claire outside and see who she can talk to. Every one of us. What do we need to do? Third point. Go and reject dead faith and pursue transformation. James makes a very shocking statement here in James 2 verse 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble. Yeah, the demons actually have accurate theology. The demons believe intellectually in the existence of Jesus. They acknowledge that he is the Son of God. But they don't love him. They don't obey him. They don't trust him. They don't want him. Do we live like that at times? Do we believe, really believe, but refuse to surrender our lives to him? If we're refusing to surrender to him, then we have a dead faith. Are we obedient to him? Because again, if we're not obedient, then we have a dead faith. Have we been transformed? Are we being transformed? Are we different today than the day we first believed? Because if we're not being transformed, if we're not being changed, if we're not being refined, maybe our faith is dead. The Greek word is nekra, means lifeless, useless, powerless. This is a 21st century tragedy, friends. There are millions of people in this world who do not believe in God. There are many in this world who say that they're Christians because once upon a time they felt a little bit emotional and they said a prayer and they even attended a service once or twice. Or they agreed with something that a minister or a preacher said from a pulpit, but their lives have shown no obedience to God. Their lives have shown no faith. Their lives have shown no growth. There is no love. There is no repentance. And therefore, there's no fruit. Think about a burning house. And there's a firefighter who shouts out, "Come, follow me. I can save you." And a person says, "Oh, I believe that fireman can save me, but I'm just going to carry on and sit on my sofa for now." The fireman was willing to rescue. The means of rescue was there. But they didn't take the step. And they perish on their sofa. Not because the fireman lacked power, but because they refused to respond. Faith, friends, responds. Responds to the commands, the precepts, the wisdom of our God. Faith moves. It's not static. It's active. Faith obeys. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's a command that has never, ever been revoked. But there are many who will choose to do other things on a Sabbath than worship God. And yeah, I know life gets in the way, and I know in the modern world that people have weird shift patterns now, and often employers expect people to work on Sundays. But we should still have a Sabbath. We should still rest as God commanded. We should still honour him and not other things first. In obedience, we're meant to be faithful. Faith, the faith that we have in Jesus, is meant to change us, to transform us, to make us different. Different in a good way, not just different as in odd like me. Galatians 5 verse 6. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. In love. Jesus commanded we are to love our neighbours as ourselves. Oh, but Dean, you don't know my neighbours. Actually, you don't know the people in my house. I mean, you know, there's this person I know who kept his entire family awake most of the weekend. This person was printing something on their new printer. And apparently it's noisy. And it vibrates through the floor. And when you get home, you might find that your neighbours have drilled a hole through your wall to steal the printer because they've heard it banging away all night long against the wall. Faith is meant to change us. Faith means that in the face of adversity, in the face of difficulty, it's not just smile and carry on like you don't know what's going on. It's smile and carry on knowing that God is in control and that God has a plan. And sometimes it might be difficult to smile, but at least you can carry on breathing while you're going through a difficulty. A faith that does not lead to obedience is a false faith. It's a counterfeit faith. In the 21st century, there are many counterfeit Christians who attend counterfeit churches. They listen to counterfeit teaching about Jesus. They listen to a gospel of prosperity. When actually what you need is the true gospel of love, the gospel of grace, the gospel of mercy, the gospel that sets us free from the power of sin when we trust in Jesus. But there's counterfeit Christians throughout this world who, instead of fixing their eyes on Jesus, instead of placing Jesus at the center of everything they do, Jesus has second place, or third place, or last place. Actually, he might not even have any place at all. He's bundled up and shoved in a cupboard. Oh, God. Oh Lord, I need something. Just quickly, go and open the cupboard. Jesus, help me. I know you're in there. That's the world we live in. Jesus in a box. Jesus, a manageable God, created in humanity's image. No holiness. No awe, no fear. Consider the universe. Consider the size of the universe. Remember that God created everything. And then try and convince him that you know better. That's what the world does. There are more people now than when I was young who deny the existence of a God at all. Oh, it's random chance. It's science. Science is far more important. That's what they say, yeah? The most important thing has always been truth. And God's word is truth. God does not lie. He's not like a human. And we, from our human perspective, attempt to play morality games or attempt to rationalize things about why God would not, or why God would, all based on our minds, our thoughts, our opinions, or what the latest influencer is saying to get likes or clicks on social media. The truth of God has not changed. Instead of counterfeit Christianity, we need to have Jesus right at the center of everything that we do. Instead of listening to what the world says is right, let's revisit again what the Word of God says is right. Be honest with yourselves. I'll be honest with myself. Do we have a living faith, or are we walking in a counterfeit dead faith? Do we truly know our Lord? Do we truly know our Saviour? Do we truly live for him? Fourth point, go and rest in the finished work of Christ alone. In this last message, it's crucial to reaffirm the heart of the gospel. Romans 3:28, so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. It's faith. Faith is the key. Not works, not rituals, not achievements, not our efforts. Jesus Christ has done everything that is necessary for our salvation. He lived the life that we could never live. He died the death that we deserve to die. He rose with victory, a victory that we could never secure. And when he cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished, he meant it. We obey God not to be loved by God, but because we are already loved by God. Already loved by him. Obedience for us, it should be the joyful overflow of God's grace operating in our lives. It's not the price of grace. It's the result. This brings the entire Go And series into focus. We do not go to earn God's acceptance. We do not go to earn man's acceptance. We do not go because it sounds like a nice thing to do. We go because we have been accepted in Christ. We go because he has commanded us to go. The truth is, saved people serve. Forgiven people forgive. Loved people love. And transformed people, they bear fruit. Do we recognize ourselves in that list? Does the world recognize us in that list? Fifth point, go and live out the gospel in a watching world. As we close this series, the last command from God becomes the summary of all the others. Go and live the faith you profess. The world has enough armchair Christians. The world needs living epistles. The world needs to see visible disciples, observable obedience, if you will. Faith that is seen, not just faith that is said. Oh, but I went to church I've been a few Sundays this month and I nearly even made it to church before the service started on a couple of occasions. And I remembered to bring a Bible, and I remembered not to speed on the way to church, and I remembered to smile at someone at the door, but maybe that was just a bit of wind. And God knows my heart. I hate that phrase. What is the condition of our heart? Black, grim, dirty, rank, sinful. Thankfully, when God looks at us, he doesn't look at our heart. He looks and sees the righteousness of his Son. The robe of righteousness that we're clothed in. God knows his Son's heart. We just fool ourselves. Titus 3:5 says this. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It's all him. What he has done. We just need to receive it, to believe it, to live it. He has accomplished it all. Our works don't save us, but our works will show our Saviour to the world around us. Many of the people that we encounter in life, they really don't give a monkey's if you want to tell them what Jesus can do for them. They just don't care. But they will observe what Jesus has done in you. They'll observe it. And they can't argue with who you are in Christ. You can pull out a Bible or try and give someone a tract and it's like, no, not interested. But if they see how your life has changed, if they see a person who is filled with the joy of the Spirit, if they see a person who is full of the love of God, there's an opportunity there for Jesus to be shared. If you live a Jesus-filled, gospel-centered life, you are a sermon without words. Your life can attract others to Jesus louder than any words you could ever speak. It could. My final call as this series ends is go and let the world see Jesus in you. Not in me. Not in, I've got that really good Christian friend. I know Anne, and Anne is able to talk to anybody about anything. And maybe if my friend comes to talk to Anne, then they'll believe. Let the world see Jesus in you. My friends, here's the truth as we conclude this Go and series. You can't earn salvation. You can't save yourself. You cannot work your way to heaven by being good. But Jesus has done everything necessary for you to be saved, for every sinner to be saved, for everyone who professes that the name of Jesus as Lord and Saviour. He is able to save all who come to him. He's carried our sins. He's suffered our judgment. He's died our death. He rose for our justification. And now he calls us to repent, to believe, to surrender, and to follow. Almost perfect timing. You just needed to be about 2 seconds earlier. He calls us to follow, not with dead faith, not with hollow confession. He calls us to have that living, saving, transforming, fruit-bearing faith. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? Is the Spirit of God awakening, stirring something in your heart and your mind right now? Have you allowed sin too strong a place in your life? Have you allowed the things of the world to be more important than the things of God? Friends, each one of us, we need to turn from our sin. We need to surrender our lives to Jesus. We need to trust in his sacrifice. We need to receive his mercy. We need to ask him for that living faith that the world needs to see. Ask Jesus to do this in your life, friends. Go and live the faith you profess. Go and walk in visible obedience. Go and shine Christ in dark places. Go and bear the fruit of transformation. Go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Go and demonstrate grace and truth and holiness and love to a lost and broken world. Go and let your life reveal the Saviour who redeemed you. That's what I encourage you to do. From the Word of God today, go and be the person that Christ has called you to be. The person that Christ has saved you to be. May the God who saved you by grace empower you to walk. May you walk in obedience to him. May you strengthen your daily walk with him. May you show his love to everyone that you meet. And may he fill you afresh and anew with his Spirit this morning, so that fruit may be produced in your life. Friends, go. Go in the name of Jesus. Live the faith you profess. And may the world see Christ in each and every one of us and come to know him themselves as Lord and Saviour. Amen.